Imagine a workplace where people consistently exceed expectations, not because they have to, but because they want to. What separates thriving organizations from struggling ones isn't fancy offices or cutting-edge technology, it's how they shape human behavior. Bringing out the best in people reveals that most management approaches fail because they're built on opinion rather than science. While surgeons wouldn't operate using personal techniques or pilots wouldn't ignore standard landing procedures, managers routinely rely on what Daniels calls my own management style, MOMS. This inconsistency creates confusion and unpredictable results. The book's enduring influence, embraced by Fortune 500 companies and praised by Warren Buffett, stems from its foundation in behavioral science principles that haven't changed in thousands of years. Most managers focus on antecedents, what comes before behavior. They create policies, conduct training, and hold meetings, then respond to failure by making instructions louder, longer, or meaner. Yet people routinely ignore these directives, as evidenced by continued safety violations despite extensive training or poor customer service despite updated protocols. What's missing? Understanding that behavior is primarily influenced by consequences, not antecedents. Antecedents merely set the occasion for behavior, like a stop sign many drivers ignore. Only consequences make behaviors recur. This explains why salespeople quickly learn which actions generate commissions regardless of training manuals, and why corporate initiatives often fail despite extensive communication. The disconnect appears in practices like annual performance reviews, attempting to influence daily behavior with yearly feedback, or value statements without consequences for non-compliance. When you create immediate consequences, like removing old software systems rather than just telling employees to switch, adoption happens quickly because consequences drive behavior change. Every behavior produces consequences that either increase or decrease its future probability. Positive reinforcement occurs when something desirable follows a behavior, increasing its likelihood. When employees receive genuine appreciation for completed projects, they're more likely to maintain that effort level in the future. This is the only consequence that generates discretionary effort performance beyond minimum requirements. Negative reinforcement increases behavior by removing something unpleasant. Employees completing tasks to avoid criticism or meeting deadlines to escape pressure are responding to negative reinforcement. This typically produces just enough effort to escape the aversive consequence. Punishment decreases behavior by introducing something unwanted, like criticism or disciplinary action. While sometimes necessary, punishment only indicates what not to do, creating a behavioral vacuum that might fill with another undesirable behavior. Extinction happens when previously reinforced behavior receives no reinforcement. This process follows distinct phases: an initial extinction burst where behavior increases, followed by emotional responses, then erratic behavior until stopping completely. What people actually do reveals what's being reinforced in an organization. Persistent, undesirable outcomes indicate that problematic behaviors are being reinforced somewhere in the system. Most American workers admit they could perform better with proper motivation. Only 23% work to their full potential, while 44% do just what's required and withhold extra effort. This discretionary effort, what people could do but aren't required to, represents enormous untapped potential that only positive reinforcement can unlock. Positive reinforcement comes in two forms: natural, automatically produced by the behavior, or created, added by another person. Created reinforcement may be social, praise, acknowledgement, or tangible, valued items. What motivates varies by individual. Some prefer mechanical tasks, others don't. Some enjoy crowds, others prefer solitude. Peers are the most effective yet underutilized reinforcement source in organizations. Their constant proximity allows for immediate positive feedback more frequently than managers can provide. Unfortunately, most employees haven't been taught this responsibility. For reinforcement to work, it must be properly perceived, contingent on desired behavior, immediate, and frequent enough. When managers claim positive reinforcement doesn't work, they've typically erred by using reinforcers they personally value, rather than discovering what motivates each employee, providing rewards regardless of performance, delaying feedback too long, or underestimating necessary frequency. Effective performance management begins with pinpointing specific desired results and the behaviors that produce them. Many organizations fail by managing only results without understanding underlying behaviors. Replace vague directives like improve customer service with specific behaviors, such as greet customers within 30 seconds or resolve complaints within one business day. Always establish results before behaviors, using concrete metrics rather than vague outcomes. Reduce employee turnover by 15% is better than improved morale. Pinpoints must be tangible and observable, not beliefs, attitudes, or internal states. Labels like lazy or bad attitude blame the person instead of addressing behaviors. What we call personality is actually a collection of behaviors that can be identified and changed. Instead of calling someone uncooperative, specify behaviors like fails to respond to team emails within 24 hours. When selecting behaviors or results to change, ensure they're under the performer's control. A call center representative can't control incoming call volume, but can control their handle time and resolution rate. The control requirement is met when a person has more influence over the pinpoint than anyone else in the organization. Unlike clinical psychology, where measurement tracks progress toward wellness, business measurement has developed a negative reputation by focusing on identifying underperformers for discipline. Proper performance management should primarily help employees improve and track progress, not just find problems. When measurement becomes associated with positive reinforcement and development, people embrace it enthusiastically. Real-world examples show this. Mechanics proudly displaying graphs of improved engine rebuild times with better quality, and part-time retail employees requesting performance graphs to monitor their sales improvements. Graph data offers significant advantages over reports or verbal feedback. Visual representations instantly show current performance relative to historical data and goals, enabling faster detection of trends and more timely responses to problems while reinforcing successful behaviors. Individual feedback consistently proves more effective than group feedback in driving improvements. When using individual feedback, group performance should also be graphed to provide additional reinforcement opportunities while fostering cooperation and teamwork. The fastest improvement method paradoxically appears slow, positively reinforcing small improvements. Improvement rates directly correlate with reinforcement frequency. Shaping, reinforcing successive approximations toward a goal, forms the essence of effective teaching and managing by breaking tasks into small steps and reinforcing minor changes. Though we crave large changes, many raindrops make an ocean, recognizes how small improvements compound dramatically. If 1,000 employees each made tiny improvements daily with recognition, companies would transform within weeks through these compounding effects. Organizations typically remain dissatisfied with their reward systems because they design them from financial rather than behavioral perspectives. Employee of the Month programs violate effective recognition principles by failing to specify rewarded behaviors, recognizing performance too infrequently, and creating many losers for each winner. Effective recognition depends on the manager-employee relationship. Building good relationships requires establishing yourself as a positive reinforcer by taking genuine interest in what matters to others. When employees know you care, recognition becomes meaningful. Applied consistently, these principles would transform organizations from places people endure to communities where people thrive. The science of behavior gives us tools for creating environments where bringing out the best in people becomes inevitable.